Welcome to Onc Live On Air. I'm your host today, Ashling Wehner. Onc Live On Air is a podcast from Onc Live, which provides oncology professionals with the resources and information they need to provide the best patient care. In both digital and print formats, Onc Live covers every angle of oncology practice, from new technology to treatment advances to important regulatory decisions. In today's episode, supported by AstraZeneca, we had the pleasure of speaking with Aaron Lisberg, MD, about the Phase 3 TROPION-Lung01 trial, which investigated datopotamab deruxtecan in patients with previously treated advanced or metastatic non-small cell lung cancer. Dr. Lisberg is an assistant clinical professor of medicine at the University of California, Los Angeles School of Medicine. In our exclusive interview, Dr. Lisberg discussed key findings from TROPION-Lung01, how Dato-DXd performed in the subgroup of patients with non-squamous disease, and the potential future implications of these findings. Speaking about the TROPION-Lung01 trial, can you just briefly summarize the rationale and design of this trial?
First of all, I'd just like to thank you for having me today to speak about this topic. It's obviously one that I'm very passionate about, and I look forward to kind of answering and providing the audience with more information. So the TROPION-Lung01 study, which many of you may be familiar with, is a large randomized phase 3 trial evaluating Dato-DXd, which is a TROP2-directed antibody-drug conjugate, in a randomized fashion against docetaxel for patients with advanced metastatic non-small cell lung cancer eligible for second-line docetaxel. Important key points here are that patients were eligible, whether they had an actionable genomic alteration, such as EGFR, ALK/ROS1, or they did not. Patients with actionable genomic alterations must have received targeted therapies in addition to chemotherapy and could have received immunotherapy, but were not required to do that. The patients without actionable genomic alterations, they must have received both chemotherapy and immunotherapy, either in combination or sequentially before enrollment. These patients were then randomized to receive Dato-DXd intravenously every 3 weeks of docetaxel. And the primary endpoint on the trial, there were two dual primary endpoints, progression-free survival and overall survival.
And so then what were the findings that came out of the interim OS analysis of this trial that were presented at ELCC 2024?
To contextualize that, I think I'll speak a little bit in terms of what happened at ESMO. So at ESMO, I presented the first results of this trial. And what we saw at that time point was that the first of the two dual primary endpoints, progression-free survival, was statistically significantly improved in patients that received Dato-DXd compared to those receiving docetaxel with a hazard ratio of 0.75. But when we looked more thoroughly into that PFS benefit, we identified that really there was a histologic breakdown. So the patients with non-squamous disease had a much more profound benefit with Dato-DXd over docetaxel with a hazard ratio of 0.63, median progression-free survival improvement of 1.9 months, whereas the patients with squamous disease did not show a benefit. And in fact, the patients with squamous disease did better with docetaxel. In the non-squamous disease, there were additional markers of improved activity with Dato-DXd, including almost tripling of the objective response rate, a longer duration response. And because of all those things, ELCC presented a poster that was specifically focused on the non-squamous subgroup. Other really encouraging findings in the non-squamous subgroup were that patients both with actionable genomic alterations and those without appeared to derive a PFS benefit. And in terms of overall survival, there was an interim overall survival analysis that I presented at ESMO 2023. It showed a trend in favor of Dato-DXd over docetaxel, but it did not cross the pre-specified threshold for statistical significance at that time point. There will be a final overall survival analysis presented in the future. But what we saw in terms of that, again, at ESMO, we saw a hazard ratio for the non-squamous population that appeared to be in favor of Dato-DXd over docetaxel with respect to overall survival. At ELCC, we actually saw a Kaplan-Meier. And so in terms of the non-squamous population, which is what the ELCC poster was focused on, because in terms of the development moving forward at this time point in advanced metastatic non-small cell lung cancer, again, based on the data from TL01, we will be looking at the non-squamous population exclusively. We saw a hazard ratio of 0.79 in favor of Dato-DXd over docetaxel and a median improvement in overall survival of 2 months. So we saw the curves, and when we look at the curves from the poster from ELCC, you can see a clear separation of the curves at around the 4 month time point in favor of Dato-DXd. So that was additional new information that we saw at the ELCC poster.
Going forward, are there any biomarkers that might be particularly predictive of the efficacy of Dato-DXd in patients with non-small cell?
That's a fantastic question, and one that we are working hard to answer. As many of the listeners today may be aware, the a priori or the baseline hypothesis with an antibody drug conjugate such as Dato-DXd targeting TROP2 would be that patients with higher TROP2 expression on their tumors be more likely to respond and have greater benefit. And that makes so much sense. You need the target for appropriate ADC engagement, for that ADC complex to go inside the tumor cell, for the payload to be delivered. So it makes sense that if there is more TROP2 expressed in the tumor, that you would have more drug delivered and theoretically more benefit. But that hasn't been shown to be the case. We have not seen high-level data with respect to TROP2 from the TL01 study, but we've seen this in a lot of other places, including I would point listeners to our Journal of Clinical Oncology paper from last year from the phase one study, where there was data looking at TROP2 H scores, which is an assessment by IHC, and there's really no clear correlation between TROP2 H score and response, wherein some patients with low scores have good benefit with the drug and some patients with high scores do not. So there's really no congruence. Interestingly, so something similar we've seen with some of the other DXd ADCs, including HER3 DXd and some of the data in trastuzumab deruxtecan, although there is that approval for the 3+ IHC data. So that would be the a priori hypothesis, and that has thus far not proven to be the case. So ultimately, we don't have a good biomarker at this time. There's a possibility that we need to do a more in-depth or a more dynamic assessment of TROP2. Maybe IHC isn't the best approach. Maybe we need to use an AI-based assessment or a more comprehensive assessment. There certainly could be heterogeneity in the tumor expression that could account for that. Maybe there's payload issues. We know that Dato-DXd has a DXd payload, which is a topoisomerase 1 inhibitor. Maybe there's something in terms of that payload and tumor biomarker that could predict. But at this time point, we really don't have a way to select for patients beyond the clear subgroup stratification that I've already discussed, which is, we know that non-small cell lung cancer is a big category, the most common type of lung cancer in the world. And we know that the next breakdown after non-small cell lung cancer is essentially squamous and non-squamous. And we know that many therapies, such as pemetrexed, perform differentially in non-squamous, where, for instance, pemetrexed performs well, and in squamous, where pemetrexed does not perform well. So this is a road we have traveled before, where therapies have performed differently in the two histologies. So if you're asking for the best biomarker for this therapy right now, I don't know that you could say histology is technically a biomarker, but that is our most important criteria at this point. And as I mentioned earlier during this discussion today, the development is solely moving forward in the non-squamous population right now.
Overall, then, from the TROPION-Lung01 trial, what would you say are the potential future implications of this study's findings?
Reflecting back on where I started during the discussion today, TL01 was a positive trial. The statistically significant improvement in progression-free survival for Dato-DXd over docetaxel in the overall patient population has a ratio of 0.75, but the median progression-free survival benefit was less than 1 month. So to talk about this as a therapy for all patients to replace docetaxel is likely inappropriate. And if we look at the way things have transpired since that TL01 presentation and subsequent ELCC presentation, that's the direction we're going, which I think is very appropriate, that we are focused on the non-squamous population, as this is a potential alternative therapy to docetaxel. I think that the high-level data does support the idea that Dato-DXd is better tolerated than docetaxel. There certainly are some unique toxicities, namely stomatitis, ocular toxicities, ILD. Beyond the scope of our discussion today, they are unique, and we certainly need to educate. But I think, again, when we look at the high-level data from TL01 in randomized fashion, both from ELCC in the non-squamous population and from TL01 in the overall population, it does appear that Dato-DXd is better tolerated. So when we combine better tolerated therapy in the non-squamous patient population with, clear benefit with respect to PFS thus far, we see, hazard ratio of 0.63, median progression-free survival, as I talked about, 1.9 month improvement, which I think is meaningful to patients in this setting. Docetaxel is a hard drug to give, and to be able to potentially improve duration that a patient is able to be on therapy with Dato-DXd, I think is meaningful. Certainly, as we discussed, I presented at ESMO 2023, which was followed up by the ELCC data we're talking about today, the overall survival data. Certainly a trend in favor of Dato-DXd this time will be important to see the final overall survival analysis. I think once we have all of the data, the PFS data in the non-squamous population, the safety data in the non-squamous population, in addition to the overall survival data in the non-squamous population, we will be able to really identify where this therapy lies. But I think that with what we have thus far, this is looking very encouraging, as I said, as an alternate to docetaxel in our non-squamous patients. I will also say that there are a number of ongoing evaluations of this Dato-DXd in the frontline setting on the TL07 and TL08 studies. And I think that those are very appropriate in addition to the AVANZAR study, and really moving a therapy that appears to be beneficial to our patients as early on into a patient's treatment course is a good idea. I think these trials will take a long time to read out, and I think that the most important indicator here will be overall survival. But I think there's a possibility these therapies could enter the front line in the future. I know there's also perioperative evaluations and, you know, earlier stage evaluations. So we're really looking across the spectrum. But I think that this all is very encouraging data for our patients that we may have alternatives to docetaxel, especially in the non-squamous population. Because again, that is a therapy that is difficult to give, has a lot of toxicity, and the benefit is marginal. And I certainly think there'll be a very important discussions that will need to occur in the future as more data comes from some of these other trials and we get some additional data.
That's all we have for today. Thank you for listening to this episode of OncLive On Air, supported by AstraZeneca. Check back on Mondays and Thursdays for exclusive interviews with leading experts in the oncology field. For more updates in oncology, be sure to visit www.onclive.com and sign up for our e-newsletters. OncLive is also on social media. On X, follow us at OncLive. On Facebook, like us at OncLive, and follow our OncLive page on LinkedIn. If you liked today's episode of OncLive On Air, please consider subscribing to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and many of your other favorite podcast platforms, so you get a notification every time a new episode is posted. While you're there, please take a moment to rate us. Thanks again for listening to OncLive On Air.